Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pep Talk, Pepperdine University's podcast dedicated to sparking conversations of personal and global significance, featuring world-renowned professors, faculty, and students from across the university. In this Pep Talk series, we will be discussing relationships. Whether you are single or married, a parent or a grandparent, a professional or an executive, relationships are an essential part of our lives. Join us as we explore how to build relationships and navigate their challenges in today's world. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pep Talk. So good to be back. Today, it's me, Alexa, hosting along with Kobe.
Yeah, good to be back, everybody. Good to see you.
Ooh, and we're so happy to have Kelly Hare back on the podcast today. Kelly, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Alexa and Kobe. It's good to be back with you guys.
Awesome. Cool. Well, let's get started.
All right. Some of you out there might have been, like me, surprised a little bit or intrigued by the title of this episode, because after all, this is a podcast on relationships. And when I think of relationships, at least personally, I think of interpersonal, two things, right, relating to one another. My relationship with a significant other, or my relationship with friends, or my relationship with family, which are all things we've talked about so far. I don't as immediately top of mind think relationship with self, because that seems like only one entity rather than two things relating to each other. So could you just start us kind of from a 30,000 foot view, Kelly, when we're talking about relationship to self, what does that even mean? What is this thing we're here to talk about today?
Yes, great question, Kobe. So relationship with self, how you relate with you, how you engage with yourself, know yourself, respond to yourself, think about yourself, feel towards yourself, behave towards yourself. It's really your own interactions with your experience. Does that help? What questions?
That is helpful. No, I think I do see that, because, yeah, there's a sense in which a self is an individual thing, but there's also a sense in which we really can kind of step out and look at ourselves, and you are relating. So I'm intrigued to hear more, but yeah. I see where we're going.
Yeah, I would say when we're talking about this podcast, you know, many of the podcasts I grew up listening to or my friends often listen to explore the idea of the relationship with self, I would say, through a fairly narrow lens, usually framed just around self-care. But for this conversation, I'd love for us to maybe go a little bit deeper. So Kobe and Kelly, when we talk about our relationship with ourselves, what does this actually mean to you, and how would you define it just beyond self-care? Like, where can we see the differences between self-care and
relating
to
ourselves? Yeah, is this just going to the spa?
Yeah.
Is that what we're
right?
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Self-care, I think of as much more one-dimensional, physically taking care of yourself, going to the spa, going to the gym. People use that term very haphazardly, loosely. Mm. Oh, some self-care. I went shopping today.
Yeah.
Relationship with self is much deeper, much more complex, where we really get to know who we are, our patterns, dynamics that we experience within ourselves, again, our feelings, our thoughts towards us, how our dialogue, our ongoing dialogue about ourself and our experience.
That is helpful.
So what's one sign that you see, especially in your practice or with the Boone Center, what's one sign that someone may have a struggling or fractured relationship with themselves? What are some of these things?
So here's what comes to my mind as a possible indicator that someone is struggling to relate with oneself well, is that they're chronically miserable or unhappy. Now, this is not to say that people don't have chronic and difficult circumstances, but as we're thinking about how we take care of ourselves and relate with ourselves, even in really, really difficult, challenging circumstances, if we're taking care of ourselves, we're finding a way, as we're relating with ourselves, to draw upon our relationship with God, to be able to reconcile, finding some sense of okay in the midst of not being okay, that we're not in this chronic, awful, miserable, unhappy state. Does that make sense? How does that strike you all?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think so. I think there's a sense in which there's an old song, right, that says, like, life in San Francisco is still just life. And I think the deeper idea of that, right? It's like you can change relationships, you can change locations, you can change jobs, but if you don't actually have a healthy understanding of who you are and who you're made to be, you're always going to have this sense of unhappiness that maybe goes deeper than just your circumstances, is what I hear you getting at there.
Right. And I think even, you know, I'll use this personal example in parenting right now. Parenting is really challenging. Mm. And if I was not relating well with myself to validate and recognize and make sense of and acknowledge, wow, parenting's really hard right now. And I need resources and support in my world, and I need to grieve and I need to validate. Mm-hmm. I would be pretty miserable if I wasn't caring well and relating well with myself in that difficult experience.
So I think that kind of begs the question then, sort of on the opposite side of the coin from what Alexa asked earlier, which would be, you know, what does it even look like actually to have a healthy relationship with yourself? Can you walk us through maybe kind of a framework for what elements are a part of that or what that kind of looks like in a person's day to day? I feel like often we're just kind of like going through life without this even being a category that we're considering. So if we step back and examine, what kind of things can we look for?
I think of being able to be a kind, warm, attuned, responsive parent or coach towards oneself and their experience. And in order to offer this type of parental figure and coach towards oneself, I believe one has to have a strong relationship with God that is founded on the fact that God knows the good, the bad, and the ugly about us and has truly forgiven our sinfulness, that our bad and wrongdoing is taken care of and was addressed by Christ on the cross. And from that acceptance, sacrificial love from God, that our okay is found and rooted in Him, from that belief and that relationship, we can then take that strength to relate with ourself and, again, validate and care for ourselves in the midst of great difficulties and challenges and having compassion for, like, wow, you know, today I really messed up. Today was a difficult day. Mm-hmm. Okay, I can have that dialogue with myself versus being consumed by the difficult experience or by the fact that I screwed up today. Yeah. I can have this mindfulness, awareness, perspective on, wow, today was difficult.
Yeah.
Today I struggled. Today I was not who I wanted to be. Or, wow, hey, you've really grown and changed, and that's great. It's fun to see how you've matured and are growing over time, that you're having this awareness, this relationship with yourself, this reflection on you, again, kind of as this parent, positive, warm parent coach figure. Again, and I see it rooted in relationship with Christ, that we can be empowered to do that.
Kelly, what you're saying reminds me a lot of in Augustine's Confessions, which one of the greatest, I think, works of spiritual wisdom, but also of self-knowledge ever written. Augustine talks about how self-knowledge really can only be found when we know God, and that these two things are kind of a reciprocal cycle, and that the hardest thing next to knowing the infinity of God is kind of knowing the infinity of your own soul, but that these kind of have to be pursued together, and you can't really have one without the other. And the other thing I hear from you is kind of this concept of identity, that there's, if you can build a deep, sure sense within yourself that you have a real identity that's independent of circumstances or performance.
Yes.
This kind of gives you the resilience necessary to weather the storms of life. I think the question that comes from that to me is, how do you build that sense of identity? Is it just self-talk at the end of the day? That's one practice. Are there other practices or elements to that? Or how do you get to that point? Because I think all of us are somewhere along the journey toward that,
I would say. So, you know, saying this again first, in addition to growing in relationship with God. So I'm going to answer kind of with that as the foundation of you're growing in relationship with Christ. Having margin and space in your life is a great way to grow in relating well with you. Because when you think about any other relationship, how are you going to have a good relationship with your brother or sister? Well, You probably want to be able to have time with them and get to know them and be interested and curious about them and their experience. And so the same is true as you relate with yourself, that if your life is so jam-packed and every hour on your planner is covered with something, you don't have that space to relate and reflect and be like, oh, how was this for me? Did I enjoy this party? Did I not? Why? What about that party did I enjoy or not enjoy? How did I do at work today? What did I like about work today? What did I feel like I really brought my gifts to today? Where did I struggle? When there's not margin and space to reflect, it's hard to relate well with yourself, that you need space and margin to have a relationship. And I like to say, you know, something can fit on your planner, but it doesn't actually fit in real life. So you need to kind of literally schedule in margin and downtime. And journaling can be a great way to do this, to journal, to write out one's experiences. And also we can learn about ourselves as we share about our experience with other people and verbalize it, you know, for the verbal processors out there.
I'm a victim of the full calendar.
Yes.
You know, as we all are. But I guess my question is, how does perfectionism or comparison or shame keep us from relating well with ourselves as we
So perfectionism, I would say, comes out of an insecure identity and feeling that we have to perform in order to have worth and value. And so that begs going back to the truth of who we are in Christ, that we are accepted and loved no matter our behavior, no matter our performance, and to really acknowledge that and address that. We can be aware of our perfectionism, and we can have a relationship with ourselves amidst perfectionism and saying, wow, you know what? Look at me. I'm really having a perfectionistic mindset as I'm working on this assignment. I wonder what that's about. What's going on? I wonder what's feeling insecure. What part of me is feeling insecure? Is it myself as a worker or as a friend? Or what role am I insecure in? Where is this perfectionism coming out of it? What is it trying to shore up or fix?
I definitely see that. And I think, too, kind of to your point a second ago, and I think these things relate, the idea of perfectionism, the idea of having to please everyone, these sort of show up in these schedules where we're completely frenetic and we're unable to say no to things, right? I think this kind of – that's definitely something I can be a victim of at times. And I had never thought about it through this exact lens before, but that is – I think it shows that you're unwilling to give the time to yourself as a self, right? That you would be willing or feel that you would need to in another relationship. I think that's a very real thing. It makes me think, I know this is probably getting more into the weeds than we can really go into, but there's a concept I've heard you talk about before of differentiation, right? Wouldn't that relate here? Could you talk to us a bit about that?
Yes. So I love the concept of differentiation. It's a lot of fun. I learned about it during my PhD studies, and I remember just being so fascinated with the concept. And I think I was fascinated by it given its complexity. I think of differentiation as a slippery concept. It's not a one-size-fits-all, and that one certain behavior is not differentiated or not, but it's how certain behaviors may be functioning in relationship with oneself or others. So backing up, broadly speaking, there's differentiation interpersonally between two people, and there's differentiation intrapersonally within oneself. So given that we're talking about relationship with self today, let's talk about the intrapersonal dimension of differentiation. And this is where a person's thoughts and feelings are integrated, that a person's logic is not the only aspect of oneself in the driver's seat, or their feelings are not the only aspect of themselves in the driver's seat, but they're integrated. They're working together to think and feel consistent with one's values and who they are in
Christ.
This
sounds like becoming a self, right? There's a sense in which the parts of you are coming together. You're starting to understand who you actually are as a person.
Yes.
What are the different parts of you that are interacting, yes, and how you can actually choose which of those should be in the driver's seat at particular times.
Right. Well, you're bringing both to bear in every situation.
Yeah. Okay.
Thoughts and feelings. And you're developing a self whose thoughts and feelings are coming out of our relationship with God, who you are in Christ, and not so contingent on what other people are thinking, feeling, or doing.
And
but it's based on the truth of who God is. So I call it an integrated alignment,
mm-hmm,
that your true self in Christ, that your thoughts and your feelings are reflective of all that is true about who God is as God and who we are as his people and who you are in particular as his son or daughter.
Well, and am I right, Christian, in making the connection that this is where the term comes from, is that you are differentiating as a self from other selves? There are,
right,
actually things that I need. There are actually ways that I need to understand myself that need to kind of be that are oftentimes tied up in what other people think of me and tied up,
right,
in relationships and
the codependency.
Right. If,
right,
I'm able to differentiate, I can actually become a full self and actually serve,
right,
other people better.
Right.
I think in the Christian context, we're a lot of time we feel like, oh, I should just be serving all the time. I should be giving away all the time.
Right.
But
right.
But if at that point the bucket starts to be empty, I think in some ways.
Yes. Yes. We can absolutely, especially in the church, get in the trap of over serving, too much self-sacrifice, that we're neglecting ourselves. We're in a codependent state, feeling like we have to fix, save, or rescue others,
yeah,
in order to be okay ourselves, versus, again, finding our okay in Christ.
Yeah.
And I think of it this way. So, again, your relationship with yourself really matters. It's a real relationship. So let's think of an example. Let's take Vacation Bible Study or Vacation Bible School at church.
VBS.
And Kobe, if you were in a church and they were doing VBS, and let's say your friend was in charge or something like this, you might start pouring into VBS and helping. But you don't want to help to the extent that you are not relating well with yourself. You're not taking care of yourself, because sometimes we miss this. You might not over invest in Vacation Bible School at the expense of your wife or your kids.
Yeah.
But sometimes we do it at the expense of ourself and what our needs mean. Sometimes we do it at the expense, yeah, of other key relationships. But sometimes when we put it in that context of, we can over sacrifice in a way that we're neglecting and not caring well for ourselves. Mm. Helps us to kind of see the relationship with self that we have, again,
yeah,
in comparison with other relationships.
Because then, yeah, if I'm not careful, there starts to be the question of, where does Kobe end and Vacation Bible Study worker begin, right? Who,
right,
even am I as a self if,
right,
my entire self is given—
is work, or is this volunteer?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think for the final question, how does a healthy relationship with oneself positively affect the way that we show up in these relationships that we've discussed in prior episodes and everyday relationships? And what happens in churches, families, and workplaces when people are inwardly and whole and secure?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How we relate with ourselves to form a healthy self is fundamental and foundational to every relationship we have, that a healthy individual helps to make a healthy dyadic relationship. It takes two healthy people to make a healthy marriage. You're not going to have a healthy marriage when you have unhealthy people as the building blocks to it, or in a friendship. Healthy people do not guarantee a healthy marriage or friendship, but it's a building block.
Yeah.
And so relating well with ourselves and caring well for ourselves, meeting our needs that we have as people, is fundamental as we relate with others. Mm-hmm. So that we're freed up to bring our true, authentic self to others in relationship, versus feeling like we need to hide ourselves or we're not adequate and we're living out of shame or fear. And so we're withdrawn in some capacity in the relationship. But we want to be freed up, relating well with ourselves, having a sense of and real wholeness in God, so that we can relate well with others.
Really good. There's a There's a C.S. Lewis quote you're reminding me of, Kelly, where in the Screwtape Letters, he has this idea that he says, you know, when God talks about us giving up ourselves, he actually only means giving up the clamor of our self-will and our sort of selfish desire to kind of be the Lord of our own lives. But that really, when we give ourselves to Christ, he gives us back our full true self and we become more ourselves than other.
Right.
Than ever. And so
right.
there's a sense, there's wrongly, I think, that we go, oh, becoming more like Christ means actually losing all of the things that make me a unique self. When it sounds to me like from you, right, nothing could be further than from the
right.
truth.
Right.
Christ makes us the true, unique, individual selves we were meant
right.
to be in.
We are time. More who we truly are in Christ.
Yeah.
What a great way to end the podcast. Thank you all so much for listening, and catch us next time on Pep Talk. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Alexa.